But let's begin. So we're starting tonight, volume 6. And I apologize from the outset that nobody has access to the book yet. It's currently being printed and hopefully will be shipped off to England in the next few days or weeks. So as soon as it's available, I'll let you know and it will be available to order. As I said in the WhatsApp today, if people would like to purchase the previous volumes, 4 or 5, etc., just message me and I'll we can arrange for that. But in terms of volume 6, so we are carrying on with Hilchot Kashrut. The last few weeks, we've been talking about different things, foods which are kosher in and of themselves, but for various reasons, Chazal prohibited us from eating due to maybe concerns that maybe non-kosher food was mixed in, due to concerns of intermarriage and things like that. Tonight, we're talking about another category of things which in and of themselves are kosher. These are kosher foods, nothing unkosher about them. However, for a different reason, we're told that we're not allowed to eat them. That's because of sakana, because of danger. And it's very interesting. You know, we'll talk about meat and fish. We'll talk about fish and milk as well, and maybe a few other categories if we have time. You know, many people are aware of these halachot. Many people know about them, and sometimes people are very, very stringent upon them. You know, and rightly so. We're talking about the laws of foods forbidden due to potential danger. You can see there the first you know, the heading of the book. We have a principle which we'll discuss. The Gemara tells us chamira sakanta meisura, which means something which is dangerous. You know, we're more stringent about it, more machmir than something which is just forbidden. So we'll find a very, very interesting question. You know, we've discussed kashrut, we've discussed eating. Obviously, you can't eat milk and meat together, but we have a din of batel b'shishim where it's nullified if there's a ratio of 60 to 1. You know, of milk and meat that got mixed in together inadvertently, and it's now no longer recognizable, you know, each substance in the mixture. If it's nullified, you can eat it together. So some ask the question, we'll talk soon about all the details about fish and meat. You know, what happens if a bit of, you know, fish sauce got mixed together with your meat, or meat sauce with your fish, whatever it is, but you can't see it, you can't taste it, and 60 to 1. Do we still say that it's nullified? So you might say, well, you know, for meat and milk, And throughout the Torah, we have this principle. So why not? Well, you might say, chamira sakanta meisura, where something is a danger. So we have to be more stringent about that than we would about something which is just prohibited. And it's interesting, you know, many people, as I said, very, very makpila on these halachot. And these are things which we don't necessarily understand the danger. I want to look at three different ideas, maybe what the danger is between eating fish and meat together. If you ask doctors nowadays, I think we have one or two doctors here in the share. You know, if there's any medical reason not to eat meat and fish together that we're aware of, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think there is. So something that, you know, in our days we don't recognize as dangerous. Certainly things that we do recognize as dangerous, you know, like not following the guidelines when there's a pandemic around, those are certainly things that we all the more so have to keep and have to adhere to in terms of that danger. But be that as it may, let's go into tonight's topic, which, as I said, we're talking about eating fish and meat together. First of all, just in this introductory box, in terms of the sources, we have a pasuk, which we've quoted before. Nishmartem ma'od l'nafshoteichem, means you should take great care of your souls. This is where we learn that we have to remain safe and healthy, not to do anything which is dangerous. This is the Gemara in Chulin that I've quoted already, talking about chamira sakanta meisura, that a danger is more severe than a prohibition. And just to start off again with the Rambam, it tells us how serious we have to take these matters. Tells us the Rambam that there are many things which the sages forbade because they are dangerous. So what happens if a person, you know, wants to say, well, okay, they said it was dangerous, but I'll just do it anyway. He says, kol ha'aveh alein v'amah ha'aleini m'saken b'atzmi. He says, what does it matter to anybody else? I'm going to risk my life, and it's my prerogative. Or any makpil al kach, say makinot or makat maldut. This is it's a rabbinic prohibition. So therefore, he has in terms of, you know, when there was these punishments were enacted, so they would get a makat maldut, which is lashes for transgressing something rabbinically. And of course, there is a you know, Doraita source for this, which is that we have to. We have to do that which is safe. So in terms of fish and meat, that's the first topic we want to talk about tonight. The Gemara tells us that somebody who eats fish and meat together, it's dangerous. The result of that would be that you could get tzara'at. Right? It's often translated as leprosy. May not be an exact translation, but a certain type of disease that comes from eating fish and meat together. Now, very interestingly, the Gemara discusses what exactly is the situation. First of all, it says, "Hay benita itva vade bisla asalavim palzika lemechle b'chut." Quite a mouthful. So it says that this type of fish, which is called benita, it's also significant that the Gemara doesn't actually say fish. It's a certain type of fish. And some poskim will say, you know, nowadays, maybe it doesn't apply to all fish, but generally speaking, we would say it would apply to all fish. It was roasted here together with meat. So first of all, the Gemara says that would be forbidden to eat with kutach. Kutach, we've discussed in the past, is a certain dairy dish. So this is, first of all, this is a din in terms of kashrut. The Gemara over here is in the context of talking about ovens and talking about a certain aroma which goes between foods. And if you roasted the fish together with the meat, so the fish is somewhat meaty. So the first opinion the Gemara tells us not to eat this fish together with milk because it's somewhat meaty. But nonetheless, the Gemara continues, says, "Ma bar Avashi amar, afilu b'milcha nami asula, mishum dakash al alecha ledval acher." He says, never mind eating this fish with milk. He says, eating it at all, you know, even on salt, you would not be able to eat it because we're worried about davar acher. Davar acher is means something else. It's often used by the Gemara as a euphemism for something not so good. In this case, talking about tzara'at. So we see from here there is a danger in eating a fish that has been cooked together with meat. And that would not be allowed. And this is brought by the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the important to say, there are many passages in the Gemara that talk about different medical things, talk about different things which may cause a danger or may not. Now, in many of them, many of those things which were probably based on the medical knowledge of the day are not codified as halakha. Even this halakha of not eating meat and fish together is never brought by the Rambam. And there's some speculation as to why it is the Rambam brings it. Many think that the Rambam, a doctor himself, understood based on the medicine of his day that eating that this was no longer dangerous, and therefore he didn't quote it. It's an interesting discussion as well. Where do we, you know, the things which the Gemara tells us are dangerous, if it's based on, obviously if it's something which is learned from a pasuk, it's learned from the Torah, so there's no question. But if it's something which is presumably, you know, based on medical knowledge of the day, And that's no longer accepted. Do we keep it or not? So that in itself is a discussion. But certainly in terms of this example, and this is probably the most widespread example, you know, that is kept. It's Paskin by the Shulchan Aruch. I mentioned the Rambam didn't bring it, but other Paskin do. The Shulchan Aruch says it actually in two different places, both in Yoredeya and in Arachayim. In Yoredeya, there's all Siman talking about things which are dangerous. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us, "Tzrich lezaher shlo lecho basar v'dag b'yachad, neshek asher tzara'at." Right, as we've said, not to eat meat and fish together because it will make you sick and will cause danger. The Rama adds on, he says, "Chen en mitzlot basar v'dag," even just to cook it together, not to roast it. Shemreicha, he says, "Mio b'di'eved eino oser." Just to explain what the Rama is not saying that you can cook meat and fish together and eat it. Certainly if you had it, you know, in the same pot, you know, there was a transfer of liquid from one to the other, certainly that would not be allowed. What he's talking about here is if you have two dishes in the same oven at the same time, two solid dishes, we discussed ovens a number of weeks or months ago, so we won't get back into all that halachot, but when you have different things in the oven, the transfer of taste could come about in one of two ways. It's what's called zeya, which is loosely translated as steam. You know, the droplets that come up from one food get absorbed in the walls of the oven and then go back into another food. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is what's called reicha, which is sort of the aroma from the foods. And this is the sugya on the Gemara over there, Psachim. And the Gemara tells us that lekatchila we are worried about reicha, but b'dieved, after the fact, we would not be concerned about it. So therefore, if it happened that, you know, again, there was no concern of zeya, there was no concern of actual contact between the food, you had meat and fish that were solid, and they were in the oven at the same time, says the Rama, after the fact, you could eat them. Again, you could eat them separately. by themselves, but not to eat them together. Okay, so that's the basic halacha, not to cook meat and fish together, not to eat them together. In terms of how to separate between them, so again, a lot of this is parallel somewhat to the halachot that we learned with meat and milk. If a person wants to eat meat after he's eaten milk, we're not talking about waiting. There is no, again, when it comes to meat and fish, there'd be no waiting period either. But generally speaking, to eat milk first and then meat, one wouldn't have to wait, but one would have to wash their hands, would have to eat something else or maybe drink something else in order to get rid of the taste and to get rid of the whatever remnants might be left in one's mouth. And the Shulchan Aruch over here brings that would be the same between meat and fish. He says, Ben basar v'dagim, chova litol, because we'd have to wash their hands. Again, we discussed this when we learned meat and milk in the Gemara. The reason to wash your hands is that you might have residue from one that's left over. And again, so Shulchan Aruch, mishum da kasher ledvar acher, the consumption is going to cause you to get sick. V'chamira sakanta me'esora. Okay, so that's in Or HaChaim, and that's in the Siman where the Shulchan Aruch is talking about actually the laws of Netilat Yadayim, of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, and that's why he mentions you have to wash your hands between meat and milk. Nyoradeya, when he's talking, between meat and fish, goes into a little bit more elaboration, says, Yirchat Yadav ben basar ledag, not only does one need to wash their hands, also Yochal Pat Shalui ben Taim, Kedei Lochotz Piv, you also have to wash out your mouth. Therefore, he recommends you have to eat bread which has been, you know, dipped in or soaked in some sort of liquid, and therefore it says if you've eaten and drank, you know, together. The Rama is a little bit more lenient than Shulchan Aruch in this regard. He says, "Yesh olim ve'en lachush laze, rak shem vashlam yachad ve'ochlam." He says, "We'll only be that concerned when they've actually been cooked together, i.e., roasted together, as we discussed." Aval ochlan ze achal ze, but to eat one off the other, en lachush, we don't have to worry about washing your hands. Chen noagim. So you don't have to rinse out your mouth, you don't have to wash your hands. Nonetheless, you should eat something, you should drink something as well, and that serves to cause a separation. So, you know, many people have the minhag between the fish course and the meat course, you know, to have a lachaim in between. This is where it comes from. By the way, this is very, very relevant. You know, sometimes you go to a simcha, obviously not at the moment. And who knows, a lot of people have been talking about it, how, you know, simchas are a little bit toned down. Maybe after Corona, you know, there won't be as many courses. I don't know. But, you go, especially when there's sort of a buffet at the beginning and there are meat stations, there are fish stations, you know, you have sushi and salmon or whatever it is. And you have, you know, meatballs or I don't know what. And they're all being served together. So a person has to be careful when you go from the meat to the fish. You know, you have to drink something in between. You have to eat something else in between. Sefer HaKashrut points out over here that according to the Sfaradim, in terms of washing your hands in between, obviously in their days, going back to the Gemara, people were generally eating with their hands, and that's why it was necessary. He says, hey, even if you're eating with cutlery, nonetheless, you should still, you know, people do pick up with their hands sometimes. I think especially if we're talking about food like sushi, things like that. And therefore, he says you should still hands in between.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So if you're, say, serving fish course on a Shabbos or whatever, or you're at somebody's and they serve a fish course, and then you obviously you serve a meat course, as long as you've got drinks on the table or some challah on the table, is that sufficient? And like you offer a lachaim, is that sufficient? Considered a sufficient hefsek or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said. So that's fine. As long, you know, you eat something in between, you drink something in between, and that's enough. Again, for Sfaradim, based on what we've seen, so it's preferable to wash your hands as well. But the Rama explicitly said that.
And that would, as you said, with like, say, Simchas as well, that just as long as you've had a drink and cleansed your palate and
Fine. That's it. Okay, so that's in terms of eating, you know, one after the other. What about in terms of cooking? In terms of, you know, we brought the Rama, and then Rosh Hashanah brings as well. Says that really, lekatchila, you should not be cooking meat and fish together in the oven at the same time. the kids at the same time. Yeah, we're not saying that a person has to have separate ovens. You know, sometimes we have meat and milk ovens. You certainly don't have to have, you know, a third fish oven. You can use the same, you know, one after the other. Yeah, in terms of if you're using a pan and you're just, you know, frying in oil, you can't fry, you know, meat and fish in the same oil. We have Yasefra Kashrut, who's extremely stringent in terms of this regard. I'm not sure if, I think that probably the majority of Poskim would not take it to this extreme, but he even goes so far as to say that if you have oil in which you fried fish and then accidentally you fried meat in the same oil, so you can't eat the meat, he even says that you would need to kasher the pot. Again, I don't think that would be the consensus of the majority of Poskim. But certainly in terms of where it's not together, no, it's one after the other. Can you use the same pot and can you use the same appliances for meat and fish? So the answer would be yes. And the truth is we even have a sugya in the Gemara that seems to indicate this explicitly. And if people remember, this is, you know, one of the shirim, again, going back in volume 4, when the shirim weren't over Zoom yet, but we discussed nat bar nat. And the idea where you have para food that's in a pot which has previously been used for meat or previously been used for milk, and all that is based on a sugya in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us about dagim shalu bakara, where you cooked fish, you know, in a meaty pot, and then afterwards can you eat them with milk or not? And so we see from there explicitly that, you know, using the same, you know, to eat them by themselves would be okay. See here the Shulchan Aruch. Number 11, he says, "Dagim shenit pashlo shenit shlo bekderasha basal chutzayafa." If you have a meaty pot or a meaty bowl which is clean, and it's then used to cook fish or to fry fish, after the mutar lochlam bekutach, once again this kutach, this milky food, which was somewhat of a Babylonian delicacy, it's what comes up many times. Says that would be allowed. Mishum davei nat barna, noten tam bar noten tam deter, which is nat barnat. Again, that's not getting into all the details now, if you're interested, so there is more about that topic in volume 4. And then there are different details in terms of when and how that would be allowed, although it was a meaty pot, whether you could eat it afterwards, that food, with milk or not. But what we see, the case is brought explicitly both in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, in terms of using this meaty pot for fish. And therefore, we're not concerned about the ta'am, about the taste of meat that's absorbed in the pot now coming into the fish. That is not part of, that's not part of our discussion. That's what the Taz says over here in source number 13. Now you could ask, you could ask why not? Just have a look here quickly at the Torah. As we've said already, be very careful not to eat meat and fish together. So he says there are those that are stringent, says the Torah, that they have separate fish utensils, right? So he doesn't say you have to do it, but he says there are those that are stringent. Such a chumrah does exist, and you might ask why is that not required? As we said at the beginning, chamira sakanta meisora. So yes, we know that nut by nut might be allowed between meat and milk, so it's a prohibition. But yeah, if we're worried about a danger, maybe we have to be more stringent. Maybe, you know, there has to be a complete separation. Just before I answer that, we'll show some of the contemporary poskim as well, who say, says Yakut Yosef, Pashata minhag latir letagin lagim machvat basar bat yomah lachar shtifat hamachvat, says you could fry fish in a meaty frying pan, even if it's been yomah, within 24 hours, once it's been clean. Ve'en choshin ha-sakana shesh padagim v'asar k'achat, and over here we're not concerned with the danger. So, as I said, why aren't we concerned? What about, also as I mentioned the question right at the beginning, bitul b'shishim, would that apply by meat and fish or not? So to answer these questions, we have to ask something else, which is, you know, is a mixture of fish and meat still dangerous? And that's really, I think, what's at the back of everybody's mind when we talk about this. You know, nowadays we look at meat and fish, we don't see that it's something that's going to cause danger. And as we said, many things which the Gemara tells us might, you know, might be dangerous, we're not worried about today, because now we know medically that they aren't. Why is it that meat and fish we still are so stringent? And how do we reconcile the fact that the Gemara tells us there's a danger, but based on you know, the best of our knowledge, there doesn't seem to be. So there's essentially three ways. Probably three ways of looking at this in terms of what is the danger of meat and fish, and how do we understand? You know, first of all, you could say that it's, you know, as it sounds simply, that it's a physical danger. The Gemara says you'll get ill, you know, and that's what exists. And if we say that, so there's two ways we could look at it. Either we could say, well, you know, maybe that's what it was once upon a time. Maybe that's what they thought, but we now know that it's not to be true. Maybe we could say, Nishtanu hatvaim, which is a phrase which is, you know, we have a whole series of shirim about that. It means that nature's changed. It's something that Tosfot discuss in certain places, and the Chazon Ish very famously explained a number of halachot using this concept. But essentially what it means is that the world nowadays is not necessarily, you know, the way it was back in the days of the Gemara. And it could be that, back then it was a danger, but nowadays it's not a danger. So whether we say that, whether we say maybe we know better, you know, medically, the outcome might be, that we would say that nowadays we don't have to worry about this. It no longer causes a danger, and therefore we could, in theory, eat meat and fish together. Now I'll say this is not the view of the majority of poskim. There are poskim that hold this way. It's a minority view, but it does exist.
Sorry, may I ask a question quickly? Sorry that I'm just interjecting. Hi there.
Yeah, Barak, go ahead.
When Tosfot speaks about the fact that nature has changed, could you just expand upon that slightly? What does that mean? Yeah, what does it, you know, does he say that human beings has evolved? What does that mean? That
No. So just answer briefly, because as I said, it's a whole topic in and of itself, and I don't digress too much. But essentially, he's talking there in the context of treifot. Just to give the context, you know, when we say an animal is a treifa, essentially, and makes it non-kosher, essentially what that means is that there would be a certain condition, and that animal, you know, would not survive for a year. And there are certain things which the Gemara tells us are conditions of treifot. But we see that an animal might have that symptom, but might live well beyond a year. So there seems to be a contradiction, and it's in that context, also vice versa. In that context, Tosfot says, you know, we have a scientific, maybe a physical description of reality, of, you know, the way things may be, which the Gemara tells us, and, you know, we look around now and we measure it to the best of our ability, and that's no longer the case. That physical description of reality, in terms of that, he says, you know, the nature's changed. And again, how far we can extend that and when we can apply that's a big discussion. The entire books that have been written on it. But that's essentially one way to say that the Gemara is talking about physically, you know, literally there's a danger. Nowadays, for whatever reason, we don't see that danger anymore. So maybe you would say, yeah, the halakha changed. That's approach number one. Approach number two is to say, well, you're right. The Gemara does talk about a danger. We don't see that anymore. It would seem not to be relevant. But nonetheless, that's the halakha. That's what it was established. We might invoke a principle called davar sheba minyan, which means any time that Chazal, you know, made a gzerah, you know, under certain conditions, even if the reason no longer applies, we would still keep that gzerah. So that would be a second way of looking at it. We could approach number one was to say, you know, the danger has passed, and therefore the halakha no longer applies. As I said, that is a very, very, very minority. Approach number two would be to say, well, it seems the danger has passed, but nonetheless, that's how the halakha was established, and we still keep it. And if that's the case, I'll elaborate a little bit more in a few minutes. But if that's the case, then fish and meat would be something which is different to the other things, which are just because of danger, meaning it has an extra status, not just that it was started off because there was danger, but it was accepted. You know, either Chazal made it a formal decree, it was accepted as a minhag, and therefore we still keep it. And the third approach would be to say, well, maybe there is a sort of a metaphysical danger over here. You know, they spoke about tzara'at. Maybe it doesn't mean just in the physical sense, maybe in a spiritual sense as well. It causes some sort of danger. exactly what that means, exactly what happens to us, you know, and you expand it and talk about Ruach Ra'ah and other things. We don't know quite what that means. But Chazal said, and we still have to be choshesh for their views. So those are the three views, more or less, how we view it. And I think understanding that, we can see why, although we say chamira sakanta meisura, although we say that a danger is more severe than a prohibition, nonetheless, in this case, we'll say, you know, we're still going to keep the halacha, we're still going to keep fish and meat. That's the minhag, that's what's been established. But we don't actually have to be extra machmer as we might have expected. Let's see some of the sources that talk about this. First of all, as I said before, the Magen Avraham says, if shamti bizman hazeh, sakana kol kach. Right, already we're going back quite a number of years. And the Magen Avraham tells us we don't see that there is a danger anymore involved. He says, "Aid na eno mezik tenishtanu ativiyot." Ativiyot tenishtanu atvaim. That's what we mentioned before, and they just changed in a sense. So would the Magen Avraham say that you can, you know, eat meat and fish together? I'm not sure if you're like that far. But as I said, there are one or two poskim nowadays. You know, Rav Dov Lior in Israel has said, you know, certainly eating one after the other without any sort of separation, he was able to be okay. And as I said, this is a minority view. It's important to know that, however, that it does exist. You know, it may not be the mainstream and may not always rely on it. But certainly, if, you know, if there's a case of great need, if there's an extenuating circumstance, a number of weeks ago, somebody called me up and he said, you know, he had a meal, which he thought was, I don't remember exactly the situation, but there was a certain dish, salad or something, and he started, you know, putting some meat in it, and then he realized that there was strips of fish. So, you know, he took out whatever he could, but, you know, there might have been a bit that mixed together. So again, you know, lekatchila, would you do that? We wouldn't, but if that's the case, it's already happened, b'dieved, and it's you know, okay, so it's a meal which has already been prepared, and again, depending on the circumstance, extenuating situation. There is what to rely on. There are those who say that you could eat them together. The Chatam Sofer points out, he says, you know, we are still very careful, even though the Magen Avraham says that there may not be danger today anymore. Says the Chatam Sofer, Efshad avale kmo davar nasa b'minyan, right? It's like something which, you know, the sages got together and made a decree about it, and therefore mishum achi anu nizhalim minag avotenu Torah. This is the minhag, and we have to continue to be stringent in this regard. It's interesting that the Chatam Sofer continues. Maybe we'll bring, I think we have it here in the Pitchei Tshuva. There was a question that I asked before. Just before that, the Tiferet Tzvi over here, we mentioned that the Rambam doesn't bring this at all. He says, you know, maybe the third approach we mentioned. I met Ba'ul Shilon Shtanot Fem Klal. He says, no, don't say that, you know, the world has changed and nature has changed, because, again, for various reasons, that may be a bit of a stretch, and you have to accept that. He said, says the Tiferet HaTzvi, this was never a natural danger. Right, this is some sort of a metaphysical danger, some sort of a ruach ra'ah, an evil spirit, however you translate those words. And he says that's why the Rambam left it out, because the Rambam never brings the various things which are because of ruach ra'ah. But going back to the idea of the Chatam Sofer, you know, he said, maybe today we say that it's no longer dangerous, we still keep it because it's maybe like a davar sheb minyan, and that's what's brought in the Pitchei Tshuva as well, who's asked the question, you know, if we have bitul b'shishim, we have fish and meat together, and it's a sort of 60-1, surely we should say that because, you know, we should say because this is a danger, which have to be more stringent. So he says no. I'm just looking for the exact language where he says it over here. So from the beginning, he says, everybody agrees, by the way, on this principle that a danger is more stringent than a prohibition. He says, Ibra, nonetheless, since we see the Rambam, who was, you know, an expert in medicine, and he left us out. He says, "Mistam lefi otzem chokhmato, according to his great wisdom, yada ve'vin shenishtanu atfayim ben yam zeh, lo nismoch hazeh lasot ma'aseh lochlam zeh imzeh." These things have changed. It's no longer dangerous. He says, "We won't go so far as to say we can eat meat and fish together." If shadav alekmo dva nasa ben yam, but he says, "Mikom akom evachnu sheyatzanu mechamil sakanta." He says, nonetheless, it's no longer under the definition of chamer sakanta mesura. It's no longer considered dangerous. So this is an interesting middle ground to say that, yes, this is a minhag which was established. Maybe it was a gzera, which the sages voted on, therefore it can't be repealed until such time as we have a Sanhedrin that can come along and vote on it again. So we have to keep it. However, the definition that it's actually a danger, which would make it more stringent, that no longer applies, and therefore we don't have to be worried about notification in 60, for instance. Rav Avadia Yosef in Yabir Omer actually says, he would apply to other things as well. He says, nonetheless, this principle we have, Chamer Sakanta Mesora, does not mean that 60 no longer applies, so certainly over here. Okay, that's more or less just in terms of eating fish and meat. I just wanted to bring as well, there's an interesting article, it was almost 20 years ago by Dr. Fred Rosner, who is one of the experts in Jewish medical ethics as well. He wrote this in Tradition. He wrote an article about fish and meat together. Again, if people are interested, I can send it to you afterwards, the link. He points out as well, one of the reasons, this is what we said, that, many poskim are reluctant to something which was accepted, even though we say that it's danger, we no longer see that it's danger. Many poskim are reluctant to rely on that. Maybe we're still wrong. Maybe we don't have the evidence. He mentions over here, he says, our knowledge of nutrition is far from perfect. The intermaturing together of meat and fish may cause the mingling of certain fatty acids or amino acids, other substances which may be harmful to the body. And that's the point, is that we don't have scientific evidence to the contrary. He says it could be that the sages had this approach based on medical information that was transmitted to them. He says if we look in the ancient writings, we don't necessarily find such a source. But nonetheless, and I think this idea that things are changing, and we don't know. We've seen it over the last few months, with Corona as well. That it's as advanced as our medical knowledge is, there's so much that we still don't understand, and it's very possible. Things which are written in Chazal, things which are written in the Gemara may turn out, though we think they aren't, they aren't true. But nonetheless, when it comes to sakana, it comes to danger, so we need to be stringent. Rav Kook also makes this point, in a completely different context. But he says, things which Chazal have said, that if you do them, that will be dangerous. It's very hard to prove empirically, scientifically that, doing the other way around, there won't be any danger, and therefore he says, we can't take even modern science, in this kind of context to uproot the halacha that we have of Chazal. But again, I think the point to take from all of this is we see how stringent we are. There's something which Chazal said is a sakana, and whether they said it based on some sort of racha kodesh, based on what the medical knowledge of the day was. Certainly, what the medical knowledge of our days, which is more advanced than the medical knowledge of those days, tells us things are dangerous. We much have a halachic obligation to go by that. Okay, let's talk about another category, which is also brought about danger, and this is far less common, and we'll see why. It's in terms of eating fish with dairy. Talking about eating fish with meat, and that is, amongst Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, we saw that was in the Shulchan Aruch, and that is mainstream halacha. This is a halacha which is much less common. In fact, there seem to be sources that contradict it completely. The Tur writes over here, "Dagim v'chagavim mutar lochlan b'chalav." You can eat fish together with milk. That's explicit in the Tur. It says you could eat loaf together with milk. Obviously, if you know what the species are, which are kosher, have all the signs, which nowadays most of us don't have that masorah anymore. But the Beit Yosef, who's also the Shulchan Aruch, writes, again, the context of the Tur was talking about the halachot of meat and milk. and he was showing that that fish, you know, and locusts as well, you know, the flesh is not considered like meat, even though, you know, there's meat and there's poultry, but these are allowed to be eaten with milk, says the Shulchan Aruch, or the Beit Yosef, and it's significant, it's born the Beit Yosef and not the Shulchan Aruch. He says that although, according to Hilchot Kashrut, you could eat meat together with milk, he says, Mikom makom en echol dagim b'chalav na sakana. You can't eat it together. He says, also, there is a danger. Just like we saw there's a danger of eating meat together with fish, so too, there would be a danger of eating milk together with fish. Now, here comes the key line, and this is where an argument is going to rage, you know, for the next 500 years. He says, K'moshnit b'er b'sefer o'achayim siman kuf ayin gim. He says, you can't eat fish together with milk because of danger, as we explained in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel. Now, the question is, what did we explain in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel? So now we're going to go back. And we saw this already. This was the Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about where you have to wash your hands and you can't do certain things because of danger. We'll get there eventually. There we go. Says Shulchan Aruch, Ben Basar, Ledagim, Chovalitom, Mishum de Kashid, Vachavach, Mesakanta Mesor. You can't eat, you have to wash your hands in between eating meat and fish. So, when the Beit Yosef comes along and says, don't eat milk together with fish, just as we've explained in Siman Kufayin Gimel, you didn't explain anything about milk. You spoke about meat. And that's what led many poskim to say that actually there's a Taot Sofer. Actually, when this manuscript was copied down, it was meant to say over here, not fish together with milk, it was meant to say fish together with meat, because that's what he was talking about over there. And for that reason, many poskim don't accept this chumrah of the Beit Yosef. Certainly Ashkenazim don't accept it. It's not really mentioned anywhere by in the Ashkenazi poskim. But you can see over here on the Prisha, and he actually brings the Darkei Moshe, which is the Rama, mentions, is Kadav Zela Shono, Lo Aiti Me'amayin Yisrachim B'Zeh. He says, I've never seen anybody who's careful about this. V'gam Bo'achayim Siman Kufayin Gimel, I know, it doesn't appear there either. Ela Shelo Lochlo B'Basam Mishum Sakana. All it says is not to eat fish together with meat because of danger. Avar Chalav Shari, but milk products would be allowed. V'lachay Nireh Shenit Alev La'ov Beit Yosef Basar B'Chalav. He says, whoever was copying this out, wrote meat instead of milk. Now, many times it happens, it's sort of a mistake. You know, many times you're talking about meat and fish, and, you know, you're having to correct myself from saying meat and milk. So it's very easy to get the words mixed up. The Shach also says over here that this was a ta'ut, it was somebody was copying down, and it was not, that's not what it was meant to say. The Mahar al-Bach, of Levi ben Chaviv, who was Arab in Spain. He was more or less around the time of the Beit Yosef as well. He writes quite an interesting explanation, you know, which makes sense. He says this was not and he says, he quotes it from the Knesset HaGdolah. He says it's not a Ta'ut Sofer. It wasn't a mistake, right? What the Beit Yosef means to say when he's referencing the earlier Siman, he's saying just like we saw that when things are dangerous, you can't eat them, just like there's a restriction on meat and fish together because there's a danger. So too, over here, there's a restriction on fish and milk together because it's dangerous. Just like over there, we saw a halacha that was dangerous. Not to say that in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel was talking about milk and fish. Obviously, we know it was talking about meat and fish. But just like the same principle would apply. Okay, so that's how he resolves that. And as I said, you know, this is an argument going forward another 500 years. It's interesting to know that Rabbeinu Bachaye, one of the Rishonim, his commentary on Chumash, actually quotes an opinion of doctors. He says, he actually mentions this idea that eating fish together with milk would be dangerous. But many do not have this chumra. As I said, for Ashkenazim, certainly it does not exist. Pitchei Tshuva also says, you know, it could be, he invokes another principle, which is, we don't have time to discuss fully now either. But he says, nowadays we see nobody's really worried about this. Certainly we don't have any sort of proof that this would be dangerous, this would be allowed. Something, this is an idea that when there's an activity which is not extremely dangerous, doesn't have any sort of visible harm, and is the common practice, and people do it. So there's an idea that there is sort of protection in that and it would no longer be dangerous. The conclusion in terms of this, in terms of the idea of having fish together with having fish together with milk products, is that amongst Sfaradim there is a machloket. Different communities have got different customs about it. Again, Yalkut Yosef, based on the Pesach of Avadia, says that Yesh li manam le'achol dagim b'chalav o'im gminam shum chashav sakana. He says that ideally one should be stringent about it, unless Yosef Ashkenaz nagim makel b'zeh. But meaning every community follows its customs. This is very common, what's done in, certainly in Israel, when the Rabbanot gives the Echshah to a restaurant, so they will mark off, you see certain items on the menu which have got cheese together with fish, or milk products together with fish, will have a sign there, or some sort of little symbol, just like they have. Certain dishes are suitable for vegetarians or not. Certain dishes are suitable for those who have this chumrah or not. So that's it. That's in terms of that. I think just very, very briefly, just to mention another two halachot. We don't really have time to go into them now, but another two halachot which are brought in terms of sakana. One of them is what's called uncovered liquids, what's called a mashkim megulim. And the idea that if you have a liquid which is left overnight and it's been uncovered, so based on the Gemara, you're not allowed to drink it. Again, the reason why the Gemara says that is because, and in their times it was very common, and that maybe a snake or a scorpion may have come and injected its poison into that drink. You wouldn't have seen it. You wouldn't know about it. And in the morning, you come and you would drink it, and that would be very, very dangerous. The Beit Yosef brings the Salacha, Shulchan Aruch, brings it, but with a limitation. He says, "Mashkim shenit kalu asalum chachamim dechayshin and shema shatan achash mehem veitir bemelus." We're worried a drink that was exposed, that a snake may have come and there's poison inside. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "Achshav she'en achashim mitzuyim beinenu mutar." He says, "Nowadays snakes are not so common. This would be allowed." Again, you leave a drink out in your kitchen counter overnight in the morning. A snake has come and put its venom inside, so you've got bigger problems than just whether you can drink it or not. But this is a machloket. The Shulchan Aruch says it no longer applies, and the Gra actually seems to indicate over here that it wouldn't apply, but it's brought in the I think it's in Maaseh Rav, in terms of that the Gra himself was machmir on the issue of mashkim megulim. And again, interesting discussion as well. Why is it that, the previous discussion we had, we said, even though it seems to no longer apply, we're still concerned and we would still be worried about keeping that halakha. Whereas by Mashkim Mugulim, many poskim, and chief amongst them, the Shulchan Aruch, says nowadays it no longer applies and therefore we don't have to keep it. That's just, there are no hard and fast rules in terms of, when we say yes or when we say no. Generally speaking, in most cases, the halacha would be, we have a gzerah, we have something which was established like that, if it's a divash of minyan, certainly, we'd still keep it, even though the reasoning no longer applies. Sometimes there are exceptions where we say not. Rav Moshe Weiss has explained it, that generally, Chazal made a gzerah, and they said, they made a gzerah that you can't do X, because it might lead you to do Y, even though, example that just springs to mind, everybody talks about, swimming, you go swimming in open water on Shabbat, you might come to build a raft. Nowadays, how many people that go swimming in open water are going to build a raft? Probably very, very few. Nonetheless, that's the gzerah. That was what Chazal said. Even though the reason may no longer apply, we would still keep that. It's a case where it's a gzerah that we're worried that it will lead you to do something else. However, where there is a chashash, we say you can't do X because why? May have already happened. Not that it will lead you to do something else, but there's an external factor that we're worried about. For example, Mayim Magulim, Mashkim Magulim, that you know, don't drink it because there may have been a snake that came in and injected the venom. That's something external, and we say now with that that no longer applies. And as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, we could say that wouldn't apply. That's the way Rav Asher Weiss has explained. Obviously, even to that rule, there are exceptions, and it's so, you know, generally these things we have to look at it on a case by case basis and see what the halacha is. But that's in terms of mashkim magulim. The halacha exists. There are those that are stringent about it. There are many that that are not. I'm not stringent about it nowadays. Rav Melamed as well says the same thing. Says that nowadays we don't really have snakes in our homes, and we shouldn't have to worry about this so much. And one final halacha just to mention as well of foods that put into danger, skip foods that are placed underneath the bed, is the Gemara talks about eggs, onions, and garlic, which were peeled and which were out overnight. The Gemara says that is a danger, and those should not be consumed the next day. There are a number of conditions to this. This is talking about eggs, onions, and garlic are the three things. If they are peeled and completely exposed, there's a concern about ruach ra'ah, and therefore not to eat them. This would only apply, first of all, would only apply if they were raw. So if they've been cooked in any way, or, you know, even if they were mashed up and put into a salad or something like that, that wouldn't apply anymore. If some of the peel was still on, it would not apply anymore. And again, the truth is that many poskim say, you know, nowadays we're not worried about this. Nowadays this ruach ra'ah, we don't see it. And, you know, this is not like meat and fish, which was universally accepted. This halacha is far less universally accepted. The truth is that many of the Rishonim, even the Shulchan Aruch, don't even mention it. Nonetheless, there are those that are stringent. You know, some of the kashrut agencies will be stringent about it as well. As we've said, you know, when it comes to sakana, people sometimes are more strict. And if somebody wants to be strict about it, so the way to get around it would be just to simply to cover it. You know, you have some onion or an egg, which is peeled and is left out overnight. So you know, you put it into a bag and wrap it up or something like that, and then it would be considered covered. By the way, Rav Melamed points out here as well, this is somebody who you know, generally speaking, has this minhag and would be concerned about it, but they forgot for whatever reason. He says, "Bataoti shelam gluyim balayla." He says, "Rashai shelo laochlam belo lachshosh leisur bal tashchit." Says, if this was your minhag and you left it out overnight, and then you know, you want to be concerned and not to eat it, so you would be allowed to keep that chumrah, and you wouldn't be worried about baal tashchit. But he points out that there are many achronim who are not strict about it. As I said, certainly not as universal as some of the other customs that we've seen.